Hi, and welcome to the DeviantArt Podcast. My name is Matt Buholtz. You can find me on DeviantArt at ggmattb. And today we've got an amazing new episode of the DeviantArt Podcast live. So I hope that you ask your questions in the Instagram stories. I hope that you're prepared to talk with an amazing artist joining us all the way from Berlin. And without any further ado, I want to have them join us. So I'm going to go through and send them a little invite here. Let's see if we can happen. Trying to connect. There we go.
Hello.
Hey, good evening.
Hey, good evening.
Thanks for joining us. Let's see as I try and find my balance in the split screen. It's an exciting time. Oh, man, I'm so envious of the plants that you've got going. Mine is this dead eucalyptus. You've got life in your background.
It's a present by my sister.
Well, awesome. So thank you for joining us, first off. I know that you're all the way on the almost exact opposite side of the world, so that's exciting. And for those of you that don't know, we've got at JoJo's Art, Jonas Udica, which... so close, I almost hit it. But thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I'm really nervous, but excited to be on here.
Don't be nervous. There is a ton of people who are excited in the chat. We've got our producers watching the questions for us, sending us any sort of questions that we might get. But I would like to get a little introduction to you. I would like to know kind of your history with art. When did you start?
When did I start? Well, I think like most artists, I've been kind of doing art all my life. I don't know, maybe at 6 or 7, I started to just scribble lots of dragons and monsters and stuff like that. And when I turned 14, I saw a video on YouTube where someone was drawing digitally, the graphic tablet and Photoshop and stuff. And I was immediately hooked and was like, what is that? I need to try that out. So I got a graphic tablet and Photoshop for my birthday, and then I started doing digital art, and that's where it started.
That's amazing that you started digital art with Photoshop. Like, that's such like that's the deep end to jump into, I feel.
Yeah, it's true. I think most people start with like GIMP or some free other software or something, but I don't know. I thought, let's go right into it.
Yeah, hey, if you can start with that, you've got, you know, everything at your disposal. There's so many tools within Photoshop that make it really easy and great. So a question that we actually got from chat was from our Dr. Daniel. They said, when did you start making art for a living?
That was around 6 years ago, I think. So in 2015, 14, 15 kind of. Yeah, that's where I decided to take a leap of faith and just do art as a freelancer. And then, yeah, from that, it kind of took off.
That's awesome. And then I would love to know a little bit of your history on DeviantArt, because you've been on the site for a good long time now.
Yeah, I think I joined in 2009. So it's been almost 11 years now. And DeviantArt was actually the first platform that I ever uploaded my art on the internet. So like DeviantArt is actually really, I don't know, like it kind of feels like home to me somehow, my artistic home, you could say.
Yeah.
So back then I just started uploading my art on there. And after, I don't know, like maybe a year or so, it started really taking off and people started following me. And and it kind of really kicked off my career as an artist. And actually my sister, I don't know, many people maybe who follow me also know her. She was also on DeviantArt back then. And we were kind of always, I don't know, like I always went to her place, to her flat, and we had really relaxed art evenings and painted together. And then we put it on DeviantArt, and was really like really cool times back then.
That's really neat to have that in your family where you can have that collaboration with someone. There's something so special when you get to work with someone that you're so close to on projects like that.
Yeah.
Did you find that you said like you would do the or one of you would do the flats and then the other would do lines. How do you feel that that sort of shaped your artistic journey and just like how you see art, being able to have someone that close that you worked with early on?
I think, I mean, I have lots of siblings. I have a big family. We have 6 siblings in total.
Six and siblings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
where do you fall in that? Are you one of the older, one of the younger, right in the middle?
So I'm the oldest boy, but I have 2 older sisters.
Okay.
And actually my like both of my older sisters are artists as well. One is the one I was referring to also, who also was also on DeviantArt. And the other one is the one that comes after her. And yeah, it was amazing to have siblings that I could be creative with. My mom always gave us art supplies and like always encouraged us to do creative stuff and music and all these kind of things. So that was really cool. I think it really shaped me as an artist because, I don't know, art was just like an everyday thing in our family somehow.
That's so cool. What a cool, like, supportive home for creativity. That's amazing to hear.
Yeah.
So speaking of creativity, you just joined us on our Pride campaign this year and you made an amazing piece. I've seen some people in chat wanting to see your artwork and I believe I can pull this up. Let's see if technology is on my side today. This should be, there we go. I'm sorry, I'm blocking part of it. I'm blocking one of the most beautiful parts of it. But you can find this art on DeviantArt. If you go to the link in our bio, it'll actually take you to our Pride campaign for 2020. And this is a piece that you made called Create Your World. And right behind me, if I turn just a little, there we go. Imagine this with flowing, beautiful hair. you've got this gorgeous digital painting involving creatures, a character that's painting everything and it's coming to life. I'd love to hear kind of like what the title Create Your World means to you in this piece.
Yeah. Well, I think I need to tell a little bit of my story of my own.
Yeah, background. I would love to hear that.
Yeah. So last year, I think most people who follow me know that last year I had my own coming out. And I also made it public on Instagram and stuff. And prior to that, I grew up in a church where being LGBT was not really, I don't know, like there was not something that you could be openly and you could not really be in a relationship with a partner and stuff like that. And even though there were many things that were really amazing being part of that church and that community and stuff, there were also many things that just didn't align with my own like values and my own personality and all these things. And last year I made the decision to just like be myself and no longer let that worldview that I was handed as a child be my own truth. And I think that's kind of what this artwork also stands for, to, I don't know, to just like paint your own world, create your own world. You don't have to like take that worldview that was handed to you. You can create your own world. You can create your own values and beliefs and these things. And and I think also through that, you can, like, by becoming your authentic true self, you can also better contribute to the world and, I don't know, make the world a bit more diverse and colorful. And
that's amazing. Yeah.
Thank you.
I think that's incredible. And so, like, the description that you put in the piece goes through a lot of that story that you just told us. And it's so wonderful seeing that expression. Like, just, we talked a little bit earlier this week and you talked about like how authentic art is the best art. And it's so true, especially in this piece. You can just feel that authenticity of, you know, like you coming through this. Like, it's so beautiful and so amazing. That, like, it's really just a very impactful and powerful piece. But
yeah, I think what's interesting also, I was thinking about that. I think maybe you've seen the piece that I did 1 year ago for my coming out. It was like an artwork where I kind of painted myself with a mask, and like I was taking off the mask kind of as a symbol of now I'm my authentic self. But in that piece, there was still lots of sadness somehow. It was kind of, I don't know, I put lots of my hurt and sadness and disappointment into that piece. And I feel like this piece is kind of reflects that, like my journey has taken me to a place where I feel much more confident with myself and my sexuality and all these kind of things. And so I think that's interesting to see like how it changed from that more sad piece to a more colorful, powerful.
Yeah. And both around the same kind of like initiative, you know, to like have that speaking of your truth and to see that change even in 1 year. Like that's such a huge, huge change because, you know, like you said, that sadness reads in that piece and there's a bit of that, like the mask being pulled away is still the recognition that, you know, it's there and like it's that important and that strong still in your life that you're having to remove it. So to see the one now where it's just this freedom, and I keep going back to the word flow in that piece, like everything's just moving and it's harmonious and gorgeous. And to see that now, it's like, you can really tell that you are like feeling that life and feeling like the vitality kind of coming through there.
Yeah.
One thing that I'd like to ask kind of along those lines is people, you know, create art for many different reasons. And did you find that your art had, you know, shifted outside of those two pieces and how you were kind of expressing yourself through art before and after coming out? Like, were you using it for any sort of escapism or were you using it for, you know, what sort of emotions were you putting in your art before and after? And have you seen a change there?
Yeah. I was actually thinking about it, and it's interesting for me now to look at my art in retrospect, because somehow I can really see my emotional state in most of my artworks at that time. Because lots of my work kind of has that, like there's one theme, for example, of breaking free. For example, I painted a lion who has like wings standing on a rock and kind of wanting to be free. And I think that was like, that's a reflection of my state at that time. I really wanted to be free, to be my authentic true self. Mm-hmm. And also another piece that's really interesting, which is actually, I think probably my most recognized piece, called Brotherhood, of like, two lions facing each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that painting I actually created in a time where I was dating a girl, and she was really lovely. Like we got along so well and with such a deep connection and everything. But somehow I realized that I just didn't have any feelings further than the friendship feelings for her. Mm-hmm. And I was really sad about that and upset because in my former church, I kind of felt a little bit of pressure, like, hey, when are you getting married? And all these kind of things. So I went home and I painted that piece. It just came out of me. I didn't even think about it consciously. And and afterwards, I realized that somehow it really came from my soul and kind of spoke that truth that was already kind of sleeping inside of me. Because the two lions are actually both male lions and they form a heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like many people actually pointed out, were like, that's two male lions. Like, is there some deeper meaning behind that and stuff? And for me, it was more like a thing, you know, like night and day, or maybe even different races, just being bound together in love and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But now looking back at it, I'm like, hey, maybe there was also some other deeper meaning inside of it, which is pretty interesting somehow.
That is interesting. Yeah. To think that like your art is helping you understand these parts of yourself that you may not have realized you were even putting into it. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, totally.
So after coming out, like how has it been being part of the LGBTQIA plus community? What's that been like and the kind of adventures through that?
It's been, I think before entering the LGBT community, I had lots of like beliefs about it that were also handed to me before, and I was kind of a bit nervous and scared to enter it and to see what it's really like. But what I found is that people are so welcoming, so open. I mean, every community also has its like bad apples. But like in general, I really have to say that I met so many amazing people and everyone really accepted me. And I think for the first time in my life, I really felt like, hey, now I can really truly be myself and find people who can connect to me also on that level. And yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I've really loved the community and how I've seen it come together. Our Pride Journal this year has been one of the most positive I've ever seen. And it's so exciting to, you know, just really see everyone's stories and how welcoming people are and supportive of the community, especially this year when the world is even in a more stressful place than ever before. It's been really exciting seeing so much positivity and the support from, you know, the LGBTQIA plus community.
Definitely. And I think what I found is that it's pretty interesting how many artists seem to be LGBTQ people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's either like artists just lean more towards that or LGBT people kind of have art as some way of expressing themselves or something. I don't know. But it's pretty interesting. I think so many of my artist friends are also part of the community. So it's very open and very diverse.
Yeah, it's really cool. I'd like to go back a little bit and talk about some of the stuff that we spoke on earlier this week and do a little bit of a pivot to going back to your art and your kind of like learning through that. So we were talking about how you were primarily self-taught. And I think that that's so fascinating just because when looking at your artwork, there's so much detail to it and so much just like life in it. To know that that's something that you worked on and built yourself is really intriguing to me. So I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah. I think nowadays it's actually really crazy how many resources there are like online. And actually, DeviantArt was quite a big part of my learning about art journey. Like there were so many tutorials on DeviantArt that I followed by great artists, like learning all these things and stuff. I think nowadays you can really find so much online that you don't even need like a traditional art education anymore. Like I haven't studied on an art school. I haven't actually studied anything so far. And I feel like with all the resources online on YouTube, on Patreon, on different websites and stuff, it's so easy to progress as an artist if you really put lots of effort into it.
Was there ever a time that you thought about pursuing like a more formal training?
Yes. I actually applied to art schools here in Berlin.
Mm-hmm.
And actually that's a pretty interesting story because one of the art schools, it's like a really prestigious art school here in Berlin, they rejected me and they said
egg on their face, like
yeah. And I think that the most crazy thing about this is like the way they stated it in their letter. They said that they thought I wasn't like talented enough and that my artistic topics that I choose to portray are too cheesy and I don't know, like all these kind of different things. And I felt like, I don't know, I was kind of hurt somehow in a way. But at the same time, I was like, okay, maybe then art school is not the right path for me. So I was like, okay, whatever.
What sort of things did you go through at that time that led you to still be able to persevere and pursue a career in art, even though you got that rejection? I feel a lot of artists, you know, there are a lot of times in creative careers where you get no's, right? Like you're told, no, this isn't for us. No, we don't like this. How did you continue to find the drive to pursue art even after hearing a rejection? Or how do you recommend artists continue to find inspiration after like a no?
I think like for me somehow that rejection was actually something that really pushed me to try even harder and to not let myself be defined by that, because I knew that I had the skills that I needed like to make it as an artist. And I think so many art schools nowadays also look for a really certain kind of artist and for a certain kind of style and like really, I don't know, political pieces maybe or shocking pieces or whatever. And just realizing that you can be yourself as an artist and you can do whatever you love and you don't need to listen to these expectations from like traditional art schools and stuff. You might not fit in there, but I'm sure that if you just follow your own path and find your own authentic voice, that you can also find an audience for that.
Yeah,
I think that's what really motivated me at the time.
Yeah, I think it all goes back to that topic that you and I keep finding of that authenticity of self and that authenticity, whether it's, you know, how you, you know, what your life is or, you know, what sort of content you enjoy creating. Because a lot of the stuff that you do is very fantastical. And I feel at times that there's a little bit of a stigma around, you know, fantasy art because it is so imaginative. And how do you see that sort of take with your work and how people perceive it?
It's interesting that you mentioned that because I think many people in the art community think that fantasy art is maybe a little bit easier to do because you can just like imagine what you're drawing. It doesn't have to be completely real or realistic. But I think actually to be able to really create an artwork that is believable, like a fantasy artwork, you have to still really know your stuff and you still have to really study like real life and real objects and real animals and all these things. To make it into a believable piece. So I think it's far from the truth that fantasy art is something that's kind of like easy to pull off. And also I think what many people also think is that fantasy art is just something that you see like as concept artists, for example, for movies or games and stuff like that, or maybe even book covers, but that these pieces can't really contain a deeper meaning or message. Because that's what they also said actually in the rejection letter. They said that they felt like my pieces didn't really contain any deeper meaning. And I was like, hey, I actually put lots of thought into my pieces and really tried to always put some kind of message in there. And maybe they weren't really able to see that, but I think that people really see that and they feel that. And it doesn't really matter if it's fantasy art or manga or anime or whatever, you can always put your soul into these pieces and you can always express something from your deeper self.
I totally agree with that. Like, I think that art is that pure form of expression and of, you know, presenting your feelings or your emotions, you know, in a more physical space, and ways that other people can understand it without needing necessarily a language. Like, you know, an artist of any language can create something and someone can look at it and take away a message from it without needing to speak to them. And that's something that, you know, you were talking about earlier on your Brotherhood piece, like that had so much meaning behind it. And, you know, if it was being looked at the very base level, people could be like two lions. But then there's all the layers that actually read through and make it so beautiful and so impactful.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's also super interesting. I think right now we are in a time where there's kind of like a clash between two worlds, which is one world is the like the traditional art world with like art schools and galleries and all these kind of things. And then there's the modern art community with like Instagram and Facebook and DeviantArt and all these online platforms where people can share their art. And I think that somehow there's sometimes some tension, like these people from the more traditional work, which is also amazing. I love going to galleries sometimes and things like that. And
yeah.
I think also art schools can be really, really helpful. But I think sometimes people who are really into that world kind kind of judge the other world, and also the other way around. Like we feel like, hey, this is weird. I don't get that. Like, why do people share their art online? And it has to be more exclusive in a gallery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the other ones are like you're so old school. Why do you do that? You can just view art anywhere and stuff. So I think that's also one of the aspects of it, that clash.
Yeah, it's really tricky too, because as you get into traditional, there's even the challenge of how do you present that digitally, right? So yeah. Like if you are a sculptor, you have to then be also really great at photography in order to convey it. And the three-dimensionality of it won't always be conveyed. And same with even an oil painting, there's so much depth to that. How do you photograph that or capture it in a way that works online? Yeah. So I feel like there's those extra steps for traditional artists to really tackle those hurdles before they can even understand the online aspects and the draws.
Absolutely.
Oh, man. Okay. I'm checking our questions list. If you guys have any questions, please leave them in the comments. We do have people going through there and making sure that we've got those. We'll do a little Q&A at the end. Make sure to follow both DeviantArt and JoJo's Art on Instagram, which you can do. Don't leave the stream right now. Do it afterwards. Make a note so that you remember. But make sure to tune in, because we are going to keep doing podcasts live, which we're very excited to bring some artists to you into your living rooms, kitchens, wherever you've got your phone or digital device. So we're excited to be doing these podcasts live. And thank you for tuning in. I've seen a lot of familiar names in the comments, so that's really exciting. Let's see. Oh, and a quick reminder that there's a link in the bio. I'm going to see if I can pin a comment. Let's continue to really be excited about technology here. Nope, not working. I tried.
Everyone's loving your mustache.
Oh, I wish I could shave it, but it just grows back. It is impossibly quick growing. So during quarantine and shelter at home, it's just like, here we are now. But you can, the comment I was going to pin was, there's a link in our bio that will take you to the Pride Journal so that you can see Jonas's art and really just enjoy all the stuff that we're doing for Pride this year. So check out the link in our bio for that. Before we get to the Q&A, one thing that I'd like to touch on that happened this year was you actually had a lot of support in the artist community because there was some art theft that went on this year. And everyone really rallied behind you. It was really pretty impressive to see just like everyone come to your like support at that time. So if you wouldn't mind going into that, I'd love to hear more.
Yeah, that was crazy. So in January, Aaron Carter, the brother of Nick Carter from the Backstreet Boys, mm-hmm. he took my Brotherhood artwork.
Yeah, that piece we've been talking about.
Yes. It's everywhere on the internet somehow. And so many people, like so many even well-known people have already like posted it somewhere and taken it. Or I don't know, I've seen so many people also getting tattoos of it and stuff, which is amazing, but it's also kind of all over the place and all kinds of products and stuff like that. And so in January, Aaron Carter took that image and he tweeted it on his Twitter and he used it to promote his merch line that he had just released. And
it blows my mind that people don't understand that you can't do that. Like it's
I know, especially as an artist yourself, because he's also a musician.
Yeah.
So he should really know about copyright and stuff like that. But yeah, he took it on his Twitter and someone wrote me a comment. And I went on Twitter and I tweeted at Aaron and I said, hey, this is my piece and I would really like you to take it off because it's copyrighted to me and I didn't give you permission to use it to promote your merch line and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I think at that point, if he had just taken it off and just discontinued using it, it wouldn't have been like a huge problem or something.
Yeah.
But his reply was what really kind of sparked the huge outrage online, because he kind of really like insulted me and said like, hey, you whatever, I won't take this off, I'm using this to promote my merch line, I don't care, don't be so whatever. And yeah, And that's from that point on, it went like really viral, and so many people rallied behind me, and yeah, it was insane on Twitter. It was even on the trend page on Twitter and stuff.
that's so again, just insane to me that people feel like they have the, especially an artist like you mentioned, have the right to use anything that they want. And then when you approached it so professionally and kindly to just say like, hey, don't do this, to have that kind of audacity to come back and be so blunt and ignorant in a way was kind of mind blowing to see when it happened. And I'm glad that like the community was right there for you to like back you up, because I think it was a good learning moment for a lot of people, but also like good to see, you know, that, you know, people can learn from that of how they're not going to allow their work to be taken advantage of in the future. And hopefully make it so that if people want to do that themselves, that they understand that they can't anymore.
Yeah, definitely. I think kind of also showed how much anger there is like stirred up in many artists out there, because it's not something that just happens to me. It actually happens to like millions of artists, that people just take their work, just use it for their own merch and post it somewhere without credit and all these kind of things. And I think so many people felt like, hey, this is the perfect opportunity to kind of release some of that in a positive way, kind of, and to really set a sign for the artist community and like show the world that, hey, we have rights as well, and we don't want to be taken advantage of.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, art theft has always been kind of a hot point in art communities and even in business communities. And so having something on such a large scale happen this year was real interesting to kind of be on the ground level for.
Yeah, it was like, for me, it was so crazy because so many like news outlets reached out to me. I mean, Forbes magazine wrote an article about it. And like I had an interview on TV and stuff like that. Like it was that, I don't know. It feels so surreal for me to even think about it, because it sparked such a big thing somehow. But I was really happy also because like art theft had happened to me also for the last 5 years or so, like on a really regular basis. And I felt like finally I could really find that platform and reach to talk about it and make people more aware of it.
Well, I definitely appreciate you taking a stronger stance on it, because I know that helps a lot of people out there who might not have that platform to do that. So, all right. As we kind of roll to the end here, if you're down for it, I'd love to do a little bit of a Q&A with some of these questions that we've been getting. Is that cool?
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So Artbuster 101 wants to know, did anyone make fun of your art when you were a kid or a teenager? So it sounds like someone who might be like making some art right now.
I can't really remember. I think, I don't know. I think most people found it cool that I was drawing in school and stuff like that. I think, I mean, people did make fun of or kind of criticize my decision to become a freelance artist. That was something that people were like, hey, are you sure about that? Are you sure you can feed a family with that and like really make a living off of your work and stuff? So that was something. But I think my art in itself wasn't really like ridiculed as a kid or something.
Would you have any recommendations for people who might be getting some negative criticisms on their art or negative feedback in that sense?
I would say just keep doing your thing. I mean, some of the most successful artists have been ridiculed for their work in the beginning. Like Joan K. Rowling, like when she started writing the Harry Potter books and sent it out to publishers, she was rejected like 10 times or something. And people were like, yeah, you should just stop writing. You're never going to be successful. It's horrible, whatever. And now it's one of the best-selling book series in the whole world. So, just don't listen to like haters and stuff like that. There's always going to be people who will not like what you put out. but there's also always going to be people who will love it. So just focus on these.
Yeah. And through that authenticity of continuing to do what you love, you're going to find that audience that really does appreciate that and can understand the layers that you put into it.
Exactly.
We've got someone saying, with what kind of feeling is it best to create something? So what sort of mood is best when you're creating art? And that's from Annabelle.
That's a really interesting question. I think for me, I think it really depends on the type of work that you are creating. I tend to be, like most of the time when I draw something, I tend to be in a more, how can I explain it? A contemplative mood, or maybe even a bit like melancholic. I like to listen also to more like emotional, melancholic music, but not in a sad way, more like just thinking about life and like that state where you really kind of connect to something deeper. I don't know, I can't really explain it.
A little bit more introspective.
Yeah, exactly.
Very cool.
But I think, I mean, there's also many artists who love to, I don't know, to listen to really fun, upbeat music, and they're probably in that kind of mood while they're drawing. So I think it really depends on the person and also on the piece that you're doing.
When you're listening to the music, when you create, do you tend to listen to music with lyrics or without lyrics?
Both. I like to listen to music with lyrics and also like film music and stuff like that.
Oh man, a quick answer already from Pine Trellius. They say, what's your favorite band?
My favorite
I came
band.
In fast.
Let's, I think I don't really have a favorite band or musician. I used to be a very big Lady Gaga fan.
Yeah, Lady Gaga, cool.
She's really cool, actually.
Yeah, she's got some amazing work, and her videos are incredible.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's kind of like a typical LGBT thing also. Like most people who are like gay friends of mine and stuff, they're also like, I loved Lady Gaga and like Born This Way and stuff like that. But yeah, I also really like Lana Del Rey. I like Aurora. I don't know if people know her. She's also really cool.
Familiar. I'll have to look her up, yeah.
And also Sleeping at Last is also really cool. Oh, yeah. That's the kind of mood I really like that more introspective thing, whatever.
And then our final question is going to be from EML Wills. They say, do you use reference photos or draw everything from memory?
I definitely use reference. Like most of the time I try to do my sketch without any references to really like make it my own piece and also to strengthen my ability to draw things from my imagination. But once I have the sketch, I like do a lot of research. Sometimes it takes like, I don't know, 2-3 hours just to find really good references. And then I try to kind of really incorporate those into my work to make it more realistic and believable. So I would really suggest people to really invest time into references. I think that's like a huge part of making your artwork more impactful.
Yeah, I think that can't be stated enough. Reference, and use that knowledge, like you said, to build out your own stuff.
Yeah.
But having that base is important. Those are fundamentals.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, before we get closing here, I know also that you are launching a Patreon soon. Yeah?
Yes.
You want to plug that a little bit?
Yeah. So I've been wanting to make a Patreon for like, I don't know, 3-4 years or something, but I always kind of put it on the shelf a little bit and waited. But now I'm finally launching it in July. It will be an opportunity for people to just support me and my work, to also enable me to do more personal work. So they'll see me more frequently on the timeline on Instagram and stuff. And also I will try to give back to the artist community as much as possible by uploading tutorials and process videos of my paintings and giving lots of advice on being a freelance artist and like growing your audience and all these things. So I just want to encourage everyone to check out my Patreon.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll keep our
updated.
We'll keep our eyes open in July for that. So thank you again for joining us. I know it's getting late over there. I can see the sun setting a little bit, but it was an absolute honor having you on the podcast and so thankful that you were able to make that time. For everyone watching, make sure to follow on DeviantArt at JoJo's Art and make sure to check out the Pride Journal, which is linked in our bio. So thank you again for joining us and hope everyone has a great weekend. And thank you very much. Goodbye. Check out that Pride Journal.